Sin and death were brought into the world through Adam and Eve, but there were some things that changed also. And we look particularly at what God spoke to the woman and said. Look at verse 16. To the woman, God said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Now look at the particular part of it about being a mother. I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. And in sorrow you will bring forth children. The word sorrow that's used there carries the idea of pain. It means pain. It means hardship. It means toil. It means labor. It means grief. All of those things are wrapped up. In two particular areas he's talking about. Number one is conception. And we're talking about the physical pregnancy that a woman goes through, the 9 months pregnancy that a woman goes through, the conception and the pregnancy, and then the bringing forth children, the actual birth itself, the delivery of that child into the world, the travail of bearing and bringing a child into this world. And he's talking about that's going to be a time of sorrow. That's going to be a time of hardship, of toil, and of labor. And certainly that is true. And those of us men in the congregation, I'm sure we have no real idea what it's like at all. Pregnancy is a difficult thing. We can see somewhat what our wives are going through. We can see that it's very hard work. To begin with, it lasts for 9 months. So it's not a short period. It's a long period of time, 9 months. And there's the morning sickness that happens, or at least the nausea that goes with it. And then there are the hormonal changes and the weight gain, which is also always a big deal to women, the weight gain. There's the discomfort. There's being kicked from the inside. I mean, it's bad enough to be kicked from the outside. I can't imagine what it's like to be kicked from inside. And I remember when our children were in the womb, and Kimberly say, feel this, and I could imagine what it's like for her to feel it, as it happens, can't be a pleasant thing necessarily. And then there's the birth itself, and sometimes goes quickly, sometimes it goes very, very slowly. It's a long, slow process characterized by labor pains. Labor pains is the word is used in the Bible for several different things. For instance, the pain and travail of what's going to take place during the tribulation period is compared to labor pains. And so men, again, here's something else we can't identify with. I've always liked Carol Burnett's description of what the pain is like. She says, if you want to know what the feeling, just take your bottom lip and pull it up over your head. That's labor pains. And so that's there. And the delivery itself is an exhausting thing, a painful thing, a frustrating thing. But you see, that's when the hard work begins. That's as hard as all of that is. The hard part begins there. The real labor is raising that child. The real travail is raising that child. Genesis 3:16 certainly does speak specifically to the conception, the pregnancy, and the childbirth, I believe. And again, we've talked about that. And all of this is a continual reminder to the woman that sin has entered into the world. This is happening to you because sin entered into the world. And she was a part of that. She was thoroughly deceived by the serpent, and she gave the fruit to her husband, and he ate, and they both sinned against God. But she was the one that was deceived. So this is a reminder of the curse of sin. And yet, when we think about it, childbirth also is a time of great joy as well, is it not? Jesus described it this way in John chapter 16, verse 21. He said, a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because for her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into the world. And there is great joy in having children. And while childbirth, again, is there's pain and sorrow and hardship, it was through childbirth that redemption would come for fallen men. It was through childbirth that a Savior would come into this world. So with the anguish and the sorrow of the conception and so forth, there is also the joy of redemption that God provided through His Son and our Savior. The hope of redemption from sin and that promised seed was to come through the woman, the seed of the woman. What a great joy it was to be for the woman to be a part of that. I believe Genesis 3:16, though, goes beyond just the pregnancy and just the delivery. When it says, in sorrow you will bring forth children. In sorrow you will bring forth children. I think it also talks about and refers to not only giving birth to that child, but raising that child. Raising a child, seeing that child go from an infant growing into a little child, and then a preteen and a teenager, and then on and from there, raising that child. And that's hard work. There is a great deal of work and labor and travail and hardship and sorrow and pain in raising children in this world. And it's not getting any easier, is it? The world is making it even more and more difficult to bring up our children. Now, I realize that when we talk about rearing children and raising children and so forth, that God ultimately gives the responsibility to fathers. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, "Fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." And because it's the father's responsibility. A father is the head of the household. A husband and father is the head of that household, spiritual leader in that family. It's his responsibility to do that. But we know that it's not... He doesn't do all the work. We know that's not true. The wife, the mother, they are directed in the Scriptures. Titus chapter 2, verse 5. They are to be homemakers. Okay? The King James says keepers at home. The idea is guardians. They are guardians of the home, the family. That's what a mother's responsibility is. Guardians of the home. And so a lot of their time is devoted to caring for children. Think about how great a responsibility that is. You know, we talk about the hard work and labor, and we think about it. It talks in Proverbs 31 about her being up late at night. And I know that's true, you know, from my own experience with my mom up late at night with me and with my watching my wife with our children and so forth. So I know that's a part of it. And I know that there's times when they're exhausted and so forth and all of that. But I think about what weighs upon women, too, the responsibility. The responsibility of being a mother, knowing that you're responsible for taking care of this child. Think about all the different various areas that are overseen typically by a mother. Now, the fathers would be involved in this, but the mothers. Physical development. You've got to deal with all the various things and issues with your child as he grows up. Is he gaining enough weight? Is he growing enough? When he gets sick, I've got to take him to the doctor and make sure they get their shots and all of those things. So you're concerned with illnesses. Every little time they get a fever and so forth, you're concerned. You know, what is this? How are we going to deal with this and so forth? The physical development, you're teaching them to walk, potty training them. You know, potty training your children. All of those things, the mother's involved in that work. Physical development. Mental development. Thinking how this child's going to learn to talk and learn words. What will be the first words out of their mouth? You know, the mother spends all those times with them and so forth. Is the first word dad? You know, sometimes it is, you know. I'm sure that doesn't sit well. But teaching them to talk, teaching them their colors. I mean, you think you got an infant child and this child is growing. They know nothing. They're learning and developing, and you're responsible for this. Teaching them the objects and what they are, and to read and to think and to count, all of those things. And then there's social development, teaching them how to behave and teaching them manners and how to play well with others. And, those types of things, how to care about other people, how to develop in friendships and learn to get along with other people and so forth. And then there's the most important area, and that's spiritual development. The spiritual development of this child. This child doesn't know about God. It doesn't come naturally. We're not born in this world knowing about God. We have to be taught those things. And a mother is the one who's probably the first one to talk to her child about God and talk to her child about God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world. About God's Son who loved you so much he was willing to die for you on the cross of Calvary. Teach them about the Word of God. This is the Word of God. I'm teaching these verses because this is what God says. These are the things of God that you're learning. I teach them how to pray. Teach them how to obey God, how important that is. Teach them about what it means to serve God. All of these things are ideas that we have to teach our children. And certainly most mothers who are involved in these areas, of all these areas of growth and development. Now, fathers, not your day, but I'll just tell you, you ought to be involved in all these areas too, okay? You don't leave all this on the mother. You don't make the work that she has to do even harder by making her do all of it. You're there. You support. You're a mother and father. You're in this together. But I know that a lot of these concerns that mothers have, and, you know, they worry about things. I know we're not supposed to be anxious or worry about things, but we're concerned. Mothers are concerned about their children, especially a first-time mother. How do I do this, you know? And you buy books and read about how to be a mother and what to do and all that. I mean, when I was a kid, it was the Dr. Spock book. Everybody had Dr. Spock's book and so forth, and how to raise children and so forth. You know, We do have an instruction manual. We don't use it as much as we should, but we have an instruction manual right here that has so much wisdom from God about how to raise our children and so forth. But how will my children turn out? We worry about that. You know, will I do a good job? Will I be a good mother? I know I've had that worry about myself as a father. It's a frightening responsibility. And sometimes I know that mothers and fathers feel inadequate, sometimes even helpless, because especially when you consider the spiritual development, because it has eternal consequences. You know, we can't make a decision for your child about Christ. You can't do that. You can't save your children. You'd like to. We wish we could. But every child will make their own decision, their own choice, whether they're going to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So those spiritual issues are particularly there. And then the anxiety only gets worse as you add more children. You add another child to your family, and then you're looking in two directions. Once when you're just following this one child around, now you got to worry about two. And if you add another one, three, and they're going off in all directions. And additional responsibility, there's more work, there's issues of sibling rivalry, favoritism. You read in the Bible about all the various families that had problems with those issues. Cain and Abel, right there in Genesis chapter 4. We've got Jacob's family. Jacob and Esau themselves, the rivalry they had. Those are issues. And children, you know, who go astray. We worry, are my children going to love the Lord? Are they going to follow the Lord? Are they going to go astray from that? Cain. How much did it hurt Eve when Cain walked away from the presence of the Lord? How much did it hurt Samson's mother to watch his life and the way he led his life? A life that had so much potential to be used for God and was used in some ways, but could have been used even more if he had been faithful to God. And then there are children with special needs, children that takes even more time, that have, learning disabilities, or they're physically challenged in some way. There's even greater responsibility and work there. Our children with serious issues, serious illnesses or diseases, child with cancer. I see the ads on television and so forth for children with cancer. And your heart goes out to those families as they deal with issues like that. And then there's the loss of a child. And we have a family right now in our congregation that's going through the pain and the sorrow and the grief of that. And it's just beyond our understanding how difficult that is to see your child go home. Even if they know the Lord and they go home to be with the Lord, the loss and the sorrow of not having them with you any longer is so difficult. Being a mother is a hard task. It is a tremendous challenge. But the comfort that we have, the assurance, the encouragement we have is that God provides the resources that we need, provides the resources for mothers to handle all this labor, all of this ministry. And that's what it is. Being a mother is a ministry. I know that so many times the world kind of looks down on, a woman who focuses on her children or focuses on her home and so forth, as if that's, not enough. You can't find enough satisfaction. It's a tremendous ministry that God has given to mothers to do that. And the Lord gives wisdom. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs, again, written by King Solomon. Wisdom to his son. A lot of practical wisdom in here, but regarding spiritual issues. Look at verse 1. How do we raise children? How do we take care of them? How will we know what to do? Am I going to have the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding I need? If we look in the right place, yes. Look at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly, and he guards the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and every good path. You want to know the wisdom to raise a child? You seek it in God's word. You seek it from the Lord. You search for it. You know, God's given us, again, the greatest instruction manual there is for families. We just don't spend the time that we need in His Word learning what He said about it. And I'm not just talking about a couple of passages here and there. Throughout the Scriptures, you see examples, you see teaching, you see instruction, you see guidance, reproof, correction. All these things are there for us if we'll seek it out. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge Him. And what does it say? He'll direct your paths. He'll direct your paths. You want to know how to raise a child? Trust in the Lord. In all your ways. Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust in Him. He will direct your paths. The Lord gives wisdom to mothers and fathers on how to raise and train their children. He also gives the strength. We need strength. You need physical strength. You need mental strength, emotional strength. Most importantly, you need spiritual strength. God provides that. Ephesians 6:10. Be strong. How? In the Lord and in the power of His might. Not in us. There's no strength in us. That's when we end up failing. That's when we end up so tired and exhausted, is when we're resting in our own strength, our own ability. We don't have the ability. Paul told the Philippians, he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who empowers me. The ability, the power to serve the Lord, to do what He's called us to do, is found in Him. It's found in Him and Him alone. And that's why Paul was given in 2 Corinthians 12 a thorn in the flesh as a constant reminder to him. You don't have the strength in yourself. I want you to see how weak you are, because when you're weak, Paul says, when I'm weak, that's when I see how strong I can be in the Lord. Mothers need that strength that comes from the Lord. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. God's grace is more than just the grace that saves us. It's the grace that teaches us and keeps us and sustains us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, he says, it's sufficient. You're my sufficiency for all things. Your grace is my sufficiency for all things. That's what God told him. My grace is enough. My grace is enough. The Lord gives comfort and encouragement to mothers in this work, in the labor, in the difficulty, in the sorrow, in the pain that they face. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I love the title for God that's found in this passage of Scripture. I oftentimes use this passage of Scripture when I'm preaching a funeral, but this is not just for funerals. This is for every day that we live on this earth. We need this from the Lord. He talks in verse 3. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he describes Him this way. The Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Father of mercies. Mercy speaks of God's compassion for us. His mercy toward us out of His love for us is because He cares about us. He looks at us and He knows. He remembers we're dust. He knows what our needs are. He's compassionate toward us. And He is the God of all comfort. The word comfort means support. It means help. Someone who is called alongside to help you, to support you, to provide for your needs. God is that. God is the God of all comfort. Look at verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. All the tribulation and trial a mother goes through, all the difficulty that she faces, God's there to comfort you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to help you through it. That we may be able, it says, to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. The Lord is there for us. He gives that help, that support to mothers in this vital work. I think of a couple of passages in the Psalms. In Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, the psalmist says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. This is His world. He made us. He placed us here. He can help us through it, whatever we're going through. Even though it's a sin-cursed earth, and we face great difficulties because of that sin in the world, we find help in Him if we'll lift up our eyes to the One who gives it. Psalm 46:1 says this, God is our refuge. He's the one you run to. He's the one you hide in. He's our refuge and a strength. He is a very present help in trouble. He is a very present help in any trouble that we're going through, whatever it might be. Now, what can mothers do practically as they deal with this? I think, number one, mothers ought to be praying individuals. I think most mothers are. Mothers who know the Lord, pray. I'm sure there are lots of prayers. And, you know, prayer is not something you do at just certain set times a day. Prayer is something when you cry out to God anytime. You talk to the Lord anytime. We are to pray without ceasing. We never stop praying. We're always in constant communion with God because we have that wonderful resource. We have access to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful counselor He is. You want advice? You want counsel? You want help? He's there. Go to Him in prayer. Philippians chapter 4. Turn there with me just briefly. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verses 6 and 7. He says, be anxious for nothing. Now, the word anxious, the King James has the word careful. Be careful for nothing. It doesn't carry the idea that you don't have to care about things. That's not the connotation of the word. It's the idea of you don't want to be filled with anxiety and worry and fret about things all the time. Don't be filled with anxiety about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But instead, what do? You take it to the Lord in prayer. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, I think you can pray about anything. I think we always don't know what to pray for as we should. The Scriptures tell us we don't. We don't know what to pray for. And I'm sure that's true of mothers, too, when they're struggling with their children or struggling with an issue in their family. They don't necessarily know, what do I pray for in this case, you know? But just pray. We have a wonderful resource. We have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us. And He intercedes for us and prays for us when we don't know what to pray. You just pray. Turn it over to the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And when you go, you pray with prayer. And that simply means communion with God. You pray with supplication, asking God for the supply of needs, because He's the one who does that. And then you pray with thanksgiving. Always be careful to give God thanks and praise. And He says, and let your request be made known to God. And what's the result? Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We want that, do we not? We want to feel at peace. I know mothers want to feel at peace. And sometimes it seems like the home is a place of chaos. And it's not always a place of peace. They want to feel that peace in their hearts and lives. God will give us His peace. When we turn things over to Him, when we find the help and strength and support that He gives in our lives in a practical way, He also gives peace. And that peace is beyond our understanding. We can't even begin to comprehend the peace of God and what it means to us and how important it is in our lives. But it will guard. It will guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. What a wonderful resource. Hannah prayed for a son. But that wasn't her only prayer. When God answered that prayer, she also promised God she would give that son to Him. She prayed that as well. And then there's one other prayer. If you go and continue reading in 1 Samuel chapter 2, it says she prays God for His goodness. God had answered her prayer and given her that son. She had given that son back to Him, to serve Him. And that must have been very difficult for her to take that little child, to work with the priest Eli and only be able to see him once a year. But she did that, and she still had praise and thanks to God for all that He had done and blessed her with in having that child. Study the Word of God. Mothers, I know you're going to say, when am I going to find time to read and study the Word? And I know that's an issue. And sometimes you just have to make that time. But just think of the resource and the strength that we find. Psalm 119, 105 says, Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do I know what's coming down the road? We look in the Word of God and we get some direction. How do I know how to take the next step, one step at a time? How do I know what to do? We find that direction in the Word. God's Word is light to us. And think about this. You want to read the Word, you want to study the Word, and you want to teach your children to do the same thing. You want to teach your children to spend time in God's Word. They're going to watch you and see if you spend time in His Word. But you can teach them as well that it's important to spend time in the Word of God. You want to teach them the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15, Paul told Timothy, he says, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. The word child there speaks about an infant, just a very, very young child. His mother, his faithful mother and grandmother, even though they had no support from Timothy's father, evidently, being a Gentile, they taught him the Word of God. They taught him that salvation could be found in God's Word. From a child, a mother's resource is the Word of God in that. Friends and family, we need the support of each other. We need the support of friends and family. We need a network to help encourage. You know, John was there for Jesus and for Mary at the time of a great pain and sorrow for her as she stood there at the foot of the cross and watched her son die. And must have pondered and wondered why. She'd had a lot of things in her life that she'd pondered. But that sword pierced through her soul at that time as she watched her son suffer and die. John was there to support and to take her home with him and to provide a home and support and encouragement. We're a part of the body of Christ. And that's not just to be part of an organization. The church is not an organization. The church is a living organism, a being filled with the Spirit of God. We belong to each other. We minister to the needs of each other. When one sorrows, we sorrow with them. When one rejoices, we rejoice with them. We're in this together as members of the body of Christ. We need each other. You know, a very secular idea that was put forth several years ago that it takes a village to raise a child. I would question that very much, whether it takes a village, but it does take a body. I think it does take a body to help raise a child. We need each other through those difficult times. The spiritual idea that we need to support and encourage each other is there. And then we have the ultimate encourager and the ultimate support living within us. The very moment we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. He is there as our comforter. He is there as our helper. He is the ultimate one to lean upon for support. He is the ultimate one to provide encouragement and comfort and consolation and strength, because He's right there, not just alongside of us, but He's within us. He dwells within us. And I think the key to being an effective mother, the key to being faithful as a mother, is certainly walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God. You're going to touch your children's lives primarily as you allow God to touch them through you. As you allow the Holy Spirit of God to work through you, to speak through you, to encourage through you your children in the things of God. And that Spirit that dwells within us is the key to coping with the hard work. Again, He's the one that gives us the Spirit of God. It strengthens us, in the inner man, strengthens us with what we need to cope with the hard work, with the labor, with the travail, with the hardship, with the pain, with the sorrow, with the grief when it comes. The Holy Spirit is there to be there. The fruit of the Spirit is produced in the heart of every believer, but this is what's produced in the heart of a mother. We find in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love. First thing is love. How does a mother have the capability of loving her child? It comes from God. Joy. Joy. Joy is not something that goes up and down with circumstances. Joy is something that is lasting. Rejoice in the Lord. Always, which means literally at all times. And again, Paul says, and again I say, rejoice. We find joy in Him regardless of the circumstances. Peace. We've already talked about the peace of God, which surpasses our understanding, is the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Long-suffering. Mothers need that. Fathers need that. When you're raising children, you need long-suffering. I guarantee you. Because you have to learn to put up with things. There are things you've got to learn to put up with and keep your temper. Kindness. Through the Spirit is kindness. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, or freely giving to one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has freely given to you and forgiven you. We should be kind to our children. We should teach them to be kind to others. Goodness. You know, parents know how to do good things. Even unsaved parents know how to give good gifts to their children. You know, and we're to give goodness to our children. Faith, our faithfulness. Our children need to see faith in our lives. They need to see faithfulness in us. Faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to other people. A man and a woman of their word. Meekness, our gentleness. So that's strength under control. That's what that speaks of. Strength that is under control. And then finally, the last is self-control. And I know parents need that. So many times in my life I can think of things that I would like to take back. There were things that I would like to take back. Words that I've said, attitudes that I took, things that I did. But once they're out there, you can't take them back. I mean, there's just no way. Self-control. Control of that old sin nature that we have. That's produced by the Spirit within us, the Spirit of God within us. All of these are the key to being a good mother. Again, it's a difficult task, but it's a rewarding task, is it not? There is great joy in seeing your children grow. There is great joy in seeing them serve the Lord. There is great difficulty in this life we live in, and sometimes great loss. Great loss when you lose a child. But God can be with you to strengthen you and handle anything that happens. And so we ask God's blessing as well on each of you who are mothers today. Many of you, your children are up and out of the house and gone. Some of you are still raising your children. God's blessing upon you. You're always going to be a mother. You're always going to be their mother for the rest of their lives. And just God bless you today. And may He continue to use you as you minister to your families and fill this wonderful ministry that He's given you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for His death on Calvary for our sins. We're thankful for His resurrection. We're thankful, Father, for the gift of eternal life that You've given us. You've given us a purpose and hope in this life. You've given us direction and guidance and strength that we need in every way. And we do thank you this morning for mothers especially and the way they've touched our lives and the impact they've had upon us in so many different areas. But most importantly, the impact that they have upon our lives spiritually and bringing us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and bringing us to see and know and love the truth of your word and bringing us to see the importance of living and serving our Savior throughout our lives here upon this earth. We pray for those who are here today who are in this process still. Pray that you will continue to guide and direct them, help them to seek your wisdom, your power through your word and through the Spirit within them. Pray that you will lead them each step of the way and just bless them in this ministry and encourage them. And we pray that we'll be encouraging to them. We just pray for Don and Vicki and their family as they're suffering the ultimate grief and loss of a child this morning. We pray that you'll be with them in a special way and comfort and strengthen and help them. And we pray that we can help be there to support them and to sorrow with them as they go through this and to encourage them as well. We just know, Father, that our time here upon this earth for all of us is limited. We know that we're here temporarily. This is not our home. We're here as ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We have an important work to do, and you've given us this responsibility. You've given us this wonderful privilege of being your servants. May we be faithful in whatever work or ministry that you've given us to do, whether it's being a mother or a father, teaching the word, sharing with our friends and neighbors, whatever it might be. Father, you know that you've given works to every one of us. You've given gifts and abilities. May we use the time we have, and may we use the gifts that you've given us for your honor and for your glory. And we commit ourselves to you. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, we pray in his name. Amen.